Thank you for having me here. And since everybody is probably getting hungry, I'm just going to say something funny here. So so when I was a child in Brazil, I used to wake up on Sunday mornings to watch this show called Globo Rural. And in this show received letters from farmers that were having problems with crop production or soils, and they would always call a specialist to fix the problem. And I always wanted to be that specialist. I'm not that specialist yet, but that always has inspired me to come here to these meetings, and I'm so glad to see everyone working towards fixing those problems. So I'm here today to talk about how fires affect the soluble fraction of soil organic matter. We had someone already talking about the importance of fires, but here I'm going to focus on the soluble organic matter. So to start, I'd like to acknowledge those who have helped me with this research, Dave, Andy, Lin-Yin, Lisha, and Samuel. So fires are a global phenomenon, and this can be illustrated by the global distribution of annual burned areas from 1997 to 2014. We know that fires affect a range of soil properties, chemical, biological, physical properties. In terms of chemical processes or properties, fires can affect pH, but also can decrease the concentrations of soil organic carbon, and leading to the formation and accumulation of fire-derived organic matter, or pyrogenic organic matter. So all these processes typically occur on the first top centimeters of the soils. And in hill slopes, soils can affect the hydrological flow regimes in soils by forming this hydrophobic layer on the surface of the soils. So this water repellent layer decreases infiltration, decreases subsurface flow, and can increase, therefore, surface runoff. So as soils become more exposed to erosion and runoff, any organic matter that's left in the soils can become more vulnerable to losses and transport. But we don't know much about the chemical composition of the soluble portion of all these materials that is transported from land to rivers. And we don't know, for example, how fires can affect this fraction that we call, define as dissolved organic matter. And this is important because, for example, if we increase the concentrations or change the chemical composition of dissolved organic matter in soils, you can maybe increase the concentrations of dissolved organic carbon in rivers. And this is a concern, a public health concern, because dissolved organic carbon is known to react with chlorine in drinking water, forming toxic substances. So, and this is a special concern in California, where not only I live, but about one-third of California's water is from snowmelt. And fires are projected to increase in frequency and become more catastrophic. But not only that, but I think a lot about how fires can affect the chemical composition of the soluble carbon and how that, in turn, can affect soil organic carbon formation in soils. For example, think about how fires can change the way dissolved organic matter interacts with soil minerals and how that affects ultimately storage of carbon in soils at lower soil depths. So we know that temperature can affect dissolved organic matter, especially at temperatures between 40 degrees Celsius and 500 degrees Celsius. Previous studies that have shown that mild and moderate temperatures can increase the concentration of carbon and nitrogen in water extractable organic matter. But again, we know very little about how temperature impacts the nature of dissolved organic matter that is extracted from soils without any harsh solvents, That's something important to point it out here. So previous studies have shown that soils collected from these different sites along an elevation gradient, when they were heated at different temperature, they lost soil organic carbon, consistent with all the literature that's out there. So what I did was I revisited those sites and I heated them at different temperatures to answer the following question. So how temperatures affect the distribution of major carbon compounds in this soluble fraction of soil organic matter. So I went to those sites and I sampled, collected soils from 0 to 5 centimeters. And I collected, for each site, I collected them at three different points. And then in the laboratory, I heated the soils at these three different temperatures, 150, 250, 350. Then I agitated them in water, filtered, and got this leachate. So again, it's important to point out that I didn't use any harsh solvents for this. This was just water. Think about, you make your tea, and then you want to know what the composition is inside. And so those leachates were analyzed for total carbon concentrations, the distribution of major carbon functional groups, carbohydrates, lipids, aromatics, and degree of aromaticity. This is a complementary type of results that I wanted to get to maybe confirm what I was getting with spectroscopy. And apparent molecular size. So with this graph shows how different heating temperatures represented by the different colors affected the concentration of organic matter in my samples across sites. So you see here that consistent with previous studies, heating soils at 150 to 250 increased the concentrations of dissolved organic carbon in my samples. Whereas when the soils were heated at 350, the concentrations decreased, consistent with the idea that as you increase the temperature at least to 350, all the molecules might start getting fragmented and turn into smaller molecules. So this is the breaking down of organic matter. Okay. So this leads to the question: is what I just said, is it really, does it really make sense? At 350, does the molecular size decrease? So I wanted to see that, and to do that, I used UVV absorbance that's typically used in aquatic systems. And what you see here is a typical DOM, dissolved organic matter spectrum. So different compounds absorb light at different wavelengths. And we typically used the 250 nanometers representing lower molecular weight and the 350 nanometers representing higher molecular weight compounds. And we used that ratio to infer average molecular size. So in the next slide, think that as ratio increases, that means the molecular size is actually decreasing. So here we see that, especially at 350, the molecular size decreases, right? So confirming more or less what the results that I got from the dissolved organic carbon concentrations were telling me. So I do, this confirms the idea that as you increase the temperature at 350, all the molecules become fragmented into smaller molecules. But what's the composition, right? That's my question. What's the composition of the dissolved organic matter? So I used nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy as a technique to select and identify different functional groups in my samples. So this is just an example of C13 NMR of soils, and it's different functional groups, different representing plant materials and, and microbial materials. Okay. So this is understanding how dysfunctional groups are distributed is important not only for this organic matter decomposition studies, but also if you wanted to validate your method. This is a great tool to for you to make sure that you are getting what you think you are getting. But instead, I use liquid state proton NMR, which is similar, kind of like C13 NMR, except that it's one more sensitive, one non-destructive. You can just take your T, give it to me, and I can run your sample. And I can get the data in 3 minutes if the samples are concentrated enough. So short acquisition time. And for this study, I broke down the regions into aliphatics, so think of lipids, functional aliphatics, oxygenated structures, think of carbohydrates, saturated olefins, and aromatic, where we think lignin and pathogenic organic matter is. So here I'm going to show how the composition of the soluble fraction of organic matter changed with temperature. So here is the unburned soils, so it's highly dominated by oxygenated compounds, likely mostly from plant materials. As you increase the temperature to 150 degrees, the samples become dominated by both oxygenated and aliphatic compounds, probably derived from both plant materials and microbial materials. At 250, you have a dominance of aliphatics, likely from microbial cells that are released in the samples at this temperature. And at 350, as I expected, we have all the samples being dominated by the aromatic compounds, suggesting that some of it might be pathogenic or origin. So, and to confirm that, I use degree of aromaticity. It's the Silva values that we use at 254 absorbance. And you see that at 350, the degree of aromaticity increased, suggesting or supporting the idea that at 350, we get more dissolved pathogenic organic matter. Okay? And the interesting thing is that high elevation soils, I got more aromaticity, suggesting that there's something to do with elevation and maybe a percent of clay. There were different terms of clay. So to conclude, fires can immediately change the composition of the soluble organic matter, in which at mild temperatures you have more carbohydrates, proteins being leached out of the soils in the landscape, probably reaching rivers. And exposing fires to 350 may release more compounds associated to polyaromatic compounds. And we might expect that to happen more often, to be released more often from land to rivers. But again, we don't know how much of this is going to be quickly mineralized by microbes, and I don't know the implication, how that is going to implicate to water quality. So that's what I would like to work on next. Thank you so much for listening.